Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello, and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? What's the haps?
It's always great to be back here with you. I love your new, you're wearing the new Shop Betches merch, the tie-dye shirt. You look excellent.
Thank you. I actually will say this. I want to say this. I got this. The tie-dye shirt is now, it has moved up to top-tier t-shirt in my drawer.
Ooh.
It's soft. It's tie-dyed, so I feel very Gen Z. I feel like it makes me look young. It fits well. You know about my t-shirt struggles, and for the audience that's been with us for a long time, they know it is I am a broad-shouldered, short-torsoed man, and there's not a lot of t-shirts for us. This Shop Betches t-shirt fits me perfectly.
And it will fit you guys perfectly. Check it out. Go to shopbetches.com. Check it out. Also, if you haven't gotten the new expansion pack for Red Flag or Deal Breaker, get that. Jared, what do you have going on?
Well, let me also, the t-shirt is one of my favorites because it's just, I don't want to act like I'm trying to, you know, hawk a t-shirt at people, but I love that it's like a little tiny, you know, logo in the pocket side. It's not this big.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not
I'm
screaming at you.
Yeah, it's not screaming at you. Yeah. It's a subtle t-shirt. It's a subtle tie-dye t-shirt, which that is a hard one to pull off. And you guys did it, I got to say.
Thank you. We did it. We solved t-shirts.
Finally. So the Red Flag Deal Breaker expansion pack. I'm going to be in Long Island this weekend at the Brokerage Comedy Club. If anyone wants to come out, jaredfried.com. I'm doing 4 shows. You got to call them about their COVID-19 protocols, but I will be there. So I'm excited to come to Long Island and hang with everyone at the Brokerage Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday. Go to jaredfried.com. Get those tickets. I have more dates coming, but it does feel like the world is coming back in a lot of places for comedy. Like, you know, and I mentioned last time, the Comedy Cellar opening up. So they're doing shows there too. So if you're in New York and you want to have a fun time and go out for a night and kind of get away from your, you know, the utter dread that lives with most of us, go to the Comedy Cellar.
I mean, I definitely want to go. I also, on the words of things looking up, anyone over 30, New York can get a vaccine. As of today, we're recording this on the 30th. So as of today, and by the time this comes out next week, anyone under 30, everyone.
There it is. Things happen fast.
That's all.
Those are all good things, and I'm halfway there on the vaccination train. I got one more to go, and I'm excited to be a part of it. It does feel oddly like communal. Like there's a community to it.
Right.
Seeing people getting it done. I know some people went through the lines, and it felt like they were in a sci-fi movie. I felt more like, look at us. You know, fellow woman, fellow man, you know, marching towards
making history,
making it, you know, I don't know. I felt more positive about it than I've heard people talk about.
No, I think it's incredible. It's like incredible what people can do in under a year. They made this, they had a problem, they fixed it. There's like so many just smart, capable people in the world who just like are able to get shit done. It's like inspiring.
How don't we know the name of the person? Like, shouldn't the name of the vaccine be the people who made it? Like, I want to know their names. Don't you want to know who they are? I know, like, we get stuck in this, like, Pfizer,
I'm sure it's a team.
Moderna.
What? It's probably a team. I don't think it's, like, one person. I think it's, like,
I want to know the whole team.
Very smart people.
I want to know those smart people. They should be,
I hope they're getting compensated pretty well. I'm sure they're.
I hope they get all the Fit Tea sponsorships.
It's exactly what the leading scientists in America are looking for.
Can you imagine coming across a TikTok profile? Oh, who's this dancing? best known for my role in the vaccine creation, now just a TikTok mom.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, it's funny. A few weeks ago, we were talking about how, like, we're on the, it seemed like we're on the end of this never ending line. And then look at us now, all eligible. And it's just, I think dating, it's just going to be fucking nuts out there.
I think, you know, listen, this podcast has been, I'll pat ourselves on the back. We've been at the forefront of staying positive the last year, and some got mad at us, and that's okay. I understand. That's an emotional response, but we have been pragmatic and positive throughout this thing about dating in general. And that ain't going to change today. It's coming. Things are opening up. You're getting vaccinated. It's going to be dancing in the streets the summer. I mean, I think it's going to be wild for every relationship. Like,
totally.
In a relationship, you're going to have a change up of, it's going to be great for you as a couple. If you're married, the kids are, and you got kids, they're finally, they're out of the house. They're doing things. Maybe they go to summer camp instead of just looking at you going, what are we going to do inside? It's like, I can't create another fort. I'll fucking kill myself if I do another fort today. And if you're single, man, I think there's going to be a new appreciation of time. I don't know if you feel that way.
I feel that way too. I also just, I had like a funny vision in my head of like someone who got into this quarantine relationship, you know, especially someone who's maybe a little more afraid of getting sick. They get vaccinated. They turn to their partner. They're like, I got to see what else is out there. I'm immune.
see you later.
Imagine it's like, you know, those couples where it's like one person in the couple gets really famous and then the relationship doesn't work out because they suddenly have so many more options because they're like, I don't know, Bradley Cooper or something.
Yeah, as if Bradley Cooper didn't have any options before he was famous, a gorgeous, you know, man. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, like, I mean, those stories are coming. That's the thing. We talked about it, like, when we went into quarantine, the dating questions changed, and now as we come out, they're changing again. And it's going to be, we spent all these weeks together and I never saw it coming. It's going to be, we grew apart during the during the pandemic. It's going to be, we came together. Like, I know a lot of relationships are coming together. I'm already starting to hear a few stories. I've had a few friends, you know, people that I know come with some wild ones. I don't think they're going to be, I think it's going to, it's going
to
get
weirder. Tell them to write in. I want to hear them too.
Write in. I can inform you of one story.
We want to hear all of your exiting the pandemic relationship problems, relationship stories.
Yes.
And please email that in UUP@badges.com. But we've got a special kind of episode today. We're mixing things up.
Listen, and we want your feedback. This is going to, we want you to let us know, right, Jordana?
We do. We want your feedback. If you like this format, let us know. Email us, DM us. Let us know if you think this is fun. If you're like, this format sucks, let's go back to the original one. Let us know about that too. This isn't permanent. We're just trying this out. But let us know if you want us to do more of these.
Listen, we write to edit. That is the motto I have in a lot of things in life. You write to edit. And we've had this great podcast that you love. But Jordana and I go on Instagram stories all the time and we answer these questions that we put up the box and you guys send in questions. So, and sometimes our questions get so in depth that we kind of lose track of like these quick hit questions.
Right. Cause on Instagram you have like 15 seconds to answer a question. So we'll try to spend at least 30 on each of these.
Absolutely. So you guys, all you guys did a great job. You sent in your questions for the podcast over Instagram, and you guys, for the next time we do this, because this is just something, this is another dish that we're going to serve at the UUP podcast, is just a quick hits episode. We're taking these questions from Instagram. If you ever want to be a part of this episode in the future, go follow @UUPpod right now. Go follow that account on Instagram. That's an easy task to get done. And then the next time a box comes up, you'll be able to answer your questions. We have 20 quick hit questions. Let's see if we can get through them, right?
Let's see if we can get to all of them. We had so many more. This is the ones we pared down that we thought we could do the best, but send more in. We'll keep doing those Q&As on Instagram on the UUP pod Instagram @UUPPOD. But let's get into them. So we could switch off reading them, but let's start.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this. This is a fun change, I think.
Me too. All right. Back on Hinge and want to date, but filled with dread. How can I get more excited to use the app?
So, well, don't make this your bio.
filled with dread.
Back on the apps, filled with dread. Can't wait to meet you. Yeah, I don't.
That's a very exciting prospect.
Yeah, I listen, let me start by saying I get it. Like, the, you know, dating mountain looks very tall. And especially when you're at ground zero. Like, when you're at base camp and you're like, and you start thinking of it, you're like, oh, I got to meet a person, and then I got to figure out if they're the right person, and I got to figure it out if we're on the same page, and I got to, like, figure out if they get along with my friends and then family, and then, oh, my God, I'm already, you know, 32, and by the time that's over, I'll be 34, and what if this person at 34 is like, you're not the right one for me, and has a freak out, and it's like...
Right, or what if I go on the date, and then I hate them immediately, and then I have to sit there, it's like, you know,
there's a lot more negative than positive. This is dating is a bad bet. You know, like let's if you know, you wouldn't put your money on any relationship.
Right. Most of them are not going to work out. But I think it's important to have a sense of like, this is supposed to be fun. I get to meet this person. Like, I'm not like, I have to meet this person. Like, I get to go out, have a drink, talk to someone that's been pre-vetted for me, that I've already seen their pictures, and I know that they seem kind of normal.
Sure.
And like, I think, again, like I said this all the time, the most exciting part about being single is the idea that anything can happen on these nights out. So like, just because it's not likely that the most amazing, incredible thing will happen on a particular given night out, it could. And I would just get excited about the prospect of like meeting an interesting person. Maybe they're not going to be the love of your life, but like if you're having fun with it, I think that's like almost all you should strive for, is like a nice, fun night out.
I think I totally agree with you. And I think the way to get there is, you know, we have to dig into the question we're given. Want to date, but filled with dread. How can I get more excited to use the app? Okay. First of all, you said, I want to date. That doesn't mean wanting to date, and doesn't mean the only way to date is to go on the app. I know it's the easiest way to go on a date is to go on a dating app, but let's make sure you're using all pieces of the dating pie. You know, approaching people in public, hanging out, you know, telling friends and family, hey, I'm out there. I'm kind of looking if you know anyone that you think would be good for me. That's the way you want to say it. So like, you know, that can alleviate the app being your only... I think when you feel like the app is your only option, like, I think about this for comedy. Like, I'm, like, doing stuff on TikTok, and a lot of the reason is because, let's say everyone leaves Instagram tomorrow, I want to be able to put stuff up that can get a reaction and find an audience.
You gotta diversify.
You gotta diversify. You gotta diversify your dating, and I think that's a big way to, like, alleviate the dread, because you're probably dreading the garbage you have to wade through on these apps. And I agree, there's a lot of fucking wasted time and wasted conversations, but you can't think of them as a waste. It's just the reality of it. And I would also say to this person, go hang out with friends and family to see what makes you feel good. Why do those relationships feel good? Once you know what you want and how you want to feel, which is hard to figure out, don't get me wrong, but once you have like more of an understanding of yourself, you're not dreading, because you're not just getting led around. You are like, no, I'm not going with you down that way. I don't like that way, you know?
Totally. And I think dating is people don't think of it like this, but I think dating is the kind of thing where a lot of the times, the more you do it, the better you get at it. The better you get at weeding out the people who you know you're not going to have a good time with. You're not just going out with anyone that's talking to you on an app. You're getting a sense of, will this person be nice to get a drink with, or would they not? And I think the more people you go out with, the quicker you're able to figure that out earlier on.
Yeah. I and that is a big part of it, is like, you're not a bag in the wind. If you think, oh, this is all happening to me. No. You have a little more, you have to take control. And control means, fuck that dude. He sucks. Oh, no, she's not my type. It's okay. Right. That's okay. This is already fun, Jordana. I think we're doing
having
a good
great
job.
Time.
Okay, I can feel it in your voice. I this is Jordana's excited.
You, this is that is my excited voice, which is the same as my sad voice. This is just the same as every other voice I have.
I'm a mess, and I'm having fun. Okay.
Exactly.
I'll do the next one. What makes a man want to seriously date a woman?
I don't know, Jared. What makes a man want to seriously date a woman? You're a man. What makes you want to seriously date someone?
Nice ass. No, what if I just turn into a total monster?
Well, I think they're kind of like, if I'm reading between the lines of this question, it's what makes a man want to seriously date a woman instead of just hooking up with her or instead of, you know, wanting to putting her in that bucket of casually date, but not seriously date.
I think the thing that has always been most attractive to me is knowing what you want and not, I do believe it. And I don't say this as like a motivational thing, but like not dealing with bullshit. Men love bullshit. We love fucking around. We love being vague. We love fooling around. We love not giving you answers. And listen, I don't mean to task this on women, but like a lot of men kind of.
What you're saying is like not putting up with your bullshit.
Yeah, and I think right, like a lot of men are, and I get how this is harmful, but I think a lot of guys engage in like what they feel is harmless, figuring it out, and a lot of times you'll be like, "What the fuck? I want to go on a date," and they'll be like, "Ah, got me," you know, like it's like, and I know to a lot of women they're like, "Well, it's not ah got me to me. I'm fucking sitting here angry." But to a lot of men, it's like, if a guy like, you know, I think that's a better way to like get across again. And the ones that are dating seriously, the ones that aren't serious, they're just going to go away. But the guys that are dating seriously are more appreciative of someone who's like, I'm going there. You're with me or you're not.
Right. It's funny. Cause I feel like, you know, like that whole cool girl mantra thing. It's like, I think a lot of women and I used to think like that too. In the sense of like, if I'm going to be desirable to a guy, I got to just go with the flow. Like, I just like go with it. I'm cool. I'm down to hang. I'm down to not hang. I don't need a commitment, but I'd like a commitment. Like that sort of like the opening scene of Bridesmaids where she's like, I don't even want a boyfriend, you know, but if you were interested in that, I could be down for it too. So yeah. I think
that to me is so unattractive. Like
I think a lot of us are under the impression that like, that's sort of like who we need to be. But like, I think what you're saying is actually really empowering because it's like, no, like that's bullshit and that's not even attractive anyway because that's just you kind of like being down for anything, which is like not hot actually.
Yeah, and it's also not guys like I think guys like winning the level, you know, beating the video game and or not playing at all. You know, a guy will be like, I don't fucking play the game. You know, like and that's the problem is a lot of women are like, oh, you're engaging with me, so that's half the battle is to get someone to leave the house. And it's like, no, but if they're leaving the house for the shit they want to do and you have no opinion on like the go with the flow, you know, you got to be the flow. You got to have your own flow. And I think like that I think a lot, like it's a very 2021 thing. It's like, listen, think of like the societal pressures on men to like make money, be able to like take care of a family. Like you, when I think when someone expects that becomes more of a burden on men because they're like, yeah, and then I gotta fucking take care of this you know, I don't, you know, like you want to do that, but I'm saying it becomes less attractive when like the other person doesn't even,
they're just trying to fit themselves into whatever works for you.
It's a lot of pressure. It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks though. They got everything. 100%
Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
How to stop judging his career / where he went to college or not and just focus on the connection.
Well, first of all, you can't stop judging.
Right. That's what dating is. It's judging.
Yeah. Like,
do you know what I mean? No one submits a resume for a job interview and is like, don't judge me. It's like, this is a whole list of shit by which you should judge me. If that's something that you judge someone that's important to you, then I think that it's not like an issue to judge someone on it. Whether it's like, whether your expectations are realistic or unrealistic or not is a different question. But if that's something that's like somehow like that's your thing that's really important to you, I don't think it's like find a way to not care about this thing that you really care about.
Also, and I'll say this to this person, listen, if you're judging their career where he went to college and like, let's change the words. Like you might, you know, sometimes you say like, I don't want to judge where they went to college or their career, but you're just judging their work ethic, ambition. Yeah. Yeah. Like that's a different story. Like if someone was like, yeah, he's just not that ambitious, I'd be like, oh, that's something to be attracted to. I would be unattracted to a woman who had no ambition. I would feel the same way. But if you're saying he's the most ambitious, hardest worker, but he went to UMass, ugh. You know, like,
right.
No offense to UMass graduates. I mean, a little bit, but not, you know, but like, you know, I would be like, yeah, you seem a little bit misguided. You know, like
right. You might not have a good sense of like what actually is an indicator of the value. I would think more like, I think that's a great point that you said. It's like, I agree. Turn it into like what the value is, and you can judge people based on their value. So if their value is like working hard, being ambitious, that's something you don't have to convince yourself to not judge someone on. But if your value is like, if you didn't go to Harvard, then like, fuck off. That might be a more limiting.
Yeah, that seems like a very bad way to go through life. But I would say, here's the other kind of tentacle of this. Someone can be ambitious at their career, and their career can only make them so much money. And you are used to a certain lifestyle that is associated with an amount of money. Now we're in a tougher, ickier situation. Like, if you're like, I like taking trips, and I make $500,000 a year, and he won't go on the trips with me because he's a teacher and makes $80,000 a year and doesn't feel comfortable with me just paying for the whole trip. Now we're in that zone of like, yeah, I could see someone going, we're just kind of two different people with two different
Yeah. Well, that's also,
that's a, yeah,
that's that goes a different back to the value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people value money, and that's not like, I mean, it's known, it's thought to be a bad thing, but it's a value. I mean, like, it's a lifestyle. It's like the, it's a thing. I don't think that it's okay. Like we said, there's no wrong reason for that. Someone is not for you.
You can break up with someone for literally any reason. But I think when, if you're going on a date with someone and you're like, well, where'd you go to college? And you won't even talk to them if they're not an Ivy League student. I would say you're not really giving people a chance to, you're boxing people up a little bit.
Right. And it's, but I think it's also like, what is your threshold for being alone? So if you're like, okay, I mean, that's kind of true. It's like, if I'm holding out for this perfect person and I'm okay with being alone for X number of years until I find that person, like, and I must have the nicest, best person, whatever, like, then like, fine, you can, you probably might, you might eventually find that person, but it's not going to be like a quick thing.
Yeah. It's, you're in a smaller pool, which is okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yeah. Too. Let's do another. And listen, follow the You Up Podcast Instagram account so that you can be a part of this. Also, keep sending your emails to the You Up Podcast, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. We're going to go back to the regular format, but this is already great. I'm enjoying this, Jordan. I think people are going to get a lot of value out of this.
Yeah, that's great.
But also, we want your screenshot emails. Get those screenshot in, UUP@Betches.com. How to know if you're fighting for the wrong relationship. Tough times versus not the match. This is a tough one.
Right. I think,
and
tough
obviously, let me start with, sorry to interrupt, buddy.
No, let's go for it.
We're answering these confidently, but like, you know, we're just two people with two opinions.
you know, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah,
so,
we're fucking talking out of our ass.
Yeah. So if you don't, if this doesn't go well for you, this advice.
What is the meaning of life? So let me just tell you, you know,
well, here,
you know, some
is.
Of these are, because this is such an abstract question where it's like,
yeah,
I don't, you know, I start right. with, I don't know, but I have,
I would
some
say
thoughts.
This would be, well, it's case by case.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, we don't really have the details to know. I don't think it's like, there's one answer for how to know if you're fighting for the wrong relationship. Tough times versus not the match. But I would say a good thing to look at is if it's the situation that you're talking about, is the tough time that you're talking about like a temporary thing, and what is the person doing to work through it? Or is it sort of just like an indicator of a longer term fundamental difference in either a value or the way you see things or the compatibility of the two of you? I think that's a good way to sort of start. Like, how, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, look at the issue at hand and like, see if it's a persistent constant thing that nothing's going to change. Or is it something that might be different if a circumstance were slightly different?
Let me ask you a question. On your way to being engaged to Mike, can you think of like, what was the tough times?
The tougher times, I would say, were before we were engaged. I think I have a lot, like I've said before, I've had a lot of relationship anxiety. It would cause me to be like overly sensitive to certain things that he said or wouldn't said that I would like kind of read very into and get very like defensive and a little bit like dramatic out. It would also play out when I was drinking, which we haven't done that much of heavily recently. So we'll see how things go when we get back to that. But, I think a lot of it was around my own like relationship anxiety and how that played out and me just kind of like learning how to be in a longer term relationship and like having security in what was going on.
But you're taking a lot of that responsibility, which like that's you going, well, this is a thing I'm working on. I'm working on myself. Was there ever a time that you guys were like sitting down being like, we are going through it as a group? Like where you're like, you got to fix this. I got to fix this. Or I think that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, a lot of those things, like a lot of those, again, my needs, which I don't I think, especially in the beginning, I needed more signs from him that he was like in it, that he was like committed, that he was, you know, going to be, that he wasn't going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, you know what I mean? I'm trying to like think about specifics. And so I think there was a point where I said to him, like, this might not make that much sense to you, but like when we're out, and we're with a big group of people, like, I need you to, like, show me more attention. Or I need you to, like,
sure,
do that kind of thing.
But I think that's, like, the difference between, like, tough times, not the match. Like, your tough time is, like, checking in with you. it annoyed me when, can you do this differently? And then he stepped up to that. Like,
right. Like, but rising to the larger theme of perhaps like me needing more attention than someone else that he had been with previously had been for. So like, if that was something where he was like, that's just not who I am. I'm never going to be able to do that. Like, maybe that would have been a more fundamental difference that we couldn't get over.
That's the thing. I think sometimes people, you know, we're in tough times and you're like, well, you two are like breaking up, you know, like you two, this isn't the relationship. Like, and I think a lot of times we lean on tough times, and I've done this before where you lean on tough times to go, it'll figure itself out.
Right.
Time. And it's like, you know, maybe that's just a way of ignoring the tough times.
I would imagine tough times would be like a thing that isn't going to be a lifelong discrepancy between you. Like, you know, someone loses their job. That's a tough time. That's, you know, hopefully a temporary thing. Someone loses a parent, someone, you know, you have a child together, and like, I've heard those aren't the happiest times in the relationship. Like, is that the kind of thing that, you know, can work itself out or get better? Or is it the kind of thing that like is an ongoing fundamental difference between the two of you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Best way to play running into an ex who got engaged recently.
Oh, this is easy. I mean, the problem with the question is like, again, it's a short question, but like when you say running into an ex who got engaged recently, like, you know, like that has nothing to do with you. Like, like they got engaged. What? They weren't like, oh, he didn't like kick you before running away with this woman or girl or guy or whatever it is, you know, or man. You know, I think the only way to run into an ex is to, I think the only way through awkward is through awkward, not around awkward. So you got to go through it because that is the best way to feel about something. This is about you feeling better. So you see an ex, hey, how are you? Great to see you. I saw you got engaged. Congratulations. I do that with a lot of internet stuff. If I see something online, and that if I've seen something online, I talk about it to the person. I don't let them talk about it first, because then I don't want to do that. Like, oh, really? That big acting job of like, you got engaged? Let me see. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to like fake it. So I always get like, even when someone like I just saw a friend of mine's kid had got their first haircut today. If I saw that friend tomorrow, I wouldn't be like, how you been? I would go, yeah, look at it. I go, how was the first haircut? I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's okay to do. And I think that makes these conversations so much less fake.
I agree. I think it's also, when you say like the best way to play, it means like, what does that mean? Does that mean like the way that makes you look the best? And I think if like the way that makes, the thing that makes you look the best is being positive and nice to anyone you meet, including
hey,
your ex.
How you been? Good to see you. I saw you got engaged. Congratulations. Boom.
There you go. Boom.
Three dates. So nice and easy to talk to. But I don't know. Eh? Move on or give it more time. I love the way this is written. Three dates. So nice and easy to talk to. But I don't know. Eh? Move on or give it more time.
I don't know. Imagine someone that, because that person's your husband.
Well, when we met, things were fun. But I was like, ugh. And now we're married. Yeah.
I think you don't have to be like, this person is the one to go on a fourth date, but it's more like, am I really excited to go on another date with them? Am I excited to see them? Will I be looking forward to this date, or will I be feeling like, ugh, I have to go on
a burden
to dinner with this person? I would like look internally and be like, am I excited about seeing this person? Because if you're not excited about seeing them on date four, you're not going to be excited about seeing them 6 months from now.
Yeah, what's going to change? I also encourage people whenever they ask this question, and a lot of times it's women asking this question, just from experience, because women will give guys so many more chances than guys will give women. Guys, you know, especially these first three dates, I would say to this person, you have to think, if it's a woman, so, and I'm sorry to gender this, but I'm just giving fair warning. If you go on a date with someone who you're not excited about, they're going on the date because they are excited about it. And I don't know what they're excited for, But it's either they love you and see a future with you, or they just want to fuck you. So how would you feel telling the person that loves you, I'm just not into this? That's hard to do.
The more dates you go on, the harder it is to do.
Exactly. Right. And so that's one side of the coin. How would you also feel is if you do kind of convince yourself into this, this person does have, you have sex with this person, and then that person goes, I'm not ready for a relationship, and leaves you.
The bait and switch.
And so, and that happens so much because women are, and then they'll go, I wasn't even into you. And then I convince myself, and they feel like the person did that to them. And it's like, the guy, I don't know what the guy is saying on these dates, but I would, you know, you have to give a little bit of credit to the other side where it's like, he was just going on dates because he wanted to fuck. Like, he was there for, he didn't convince himself into you at any point. So, right. I would say, if you're going to feel badly, like, I'm giving someone a shot, I don't know. This is just something to think about. I always, because this question comes up a lot, and I'm like, listen, you can, I agree with you. Go on the fourth date if it's going to not feel like a burden, but also know that other person is going on that fourth date because they want to be there.
Right. That's fair. Okay. Stop seeing a guy 3 months in because of the pandemic. What do I say to get back in touch?
I would text the guy, hey, I hope you've been doing well through all this stuff.
I'm vaccinated.
And I'm looking to hang. Yeah. Vaccinated and ready to party. How about you? HBU.
Right.
Right? What else would you say?
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see, like, when it says, when I stopped seeing a guy in 3 months in because of the pandemic. Like, I guess maybe that because they, in the beginning of quarantine, when they couldn't see each other. I think you could say, like, hey, how have you been? What's up? Start it off that way.
I think you have to be like, totally. I think it's a, you have to be realistically delusional. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is like, the delusional part is like, it did end because of the pandemic. We did like each other. We could have been a bad match. The realistic part is that might have been an easy excuse to get out of seeing you, and she's never going to be serious anyways.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big part of it. So it's like, it's one quick text. They're either going to set a date or they're going to be vague. Very rarely are they, hey, listen, that 3 months was fun, but I don't feel a connection with us. Very rarely will you get the black and white no.
Right. So if they don't set a date, you'll know not really going anywhere. And if they do, try to pick it up where it left off.
Vague is no.
Yes.
That's
a good dating rule of thumb, generally speaking. Yeah.
Generally speaking, vague is, let me give it a better, even more description. Vague is I'd fuck at my convenience. Or vague is I have other things going on, because women are vague too. But I think a lot of times when women are vague, it's like, I'm still kind of seeing this person. I don't know what's going to happen with it. You could be cool, but I got this other thing going on, you know?
It's I'm not all in is vague. Mm-hmm.
So, and listen, if you're dealing with vague people, that's okay too. But just be realistic about what you're dealing with. Like, you don't say, well, maybe tomorrow's the day he's less vague. No, tomorrow's the day he's vague again until you guys are both out and you end up hanging out and hooking up.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves, and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. Then I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Ello Moves. From beginner to advanced, Ello Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Ello Moves. Go to ellomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's ellomoves.com, code UUP. ellomoves.com, code UUP.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
All right, tips and tricks for moving in with your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Two bathrooms.
You have two bathrooms?
No, but that is something I probably should have looked into, as far as for me, this is because I am.
No, I think two bathrooms is I didn't think that was necessary. And then I think as soon as we moved in, I was like, I would have really liked another bathroom. And obviously that's a luxury.
Sure.
To have. I would say another tip would be just making sure that you maintain your own like life separately, especially I think in the pandemic, but also just generally speaking, like, just because you live together doesn't mean you have to spend every waking moment together. Like make some times with your friend, plans with your friends, go on some trips, visit your own family, like do some stuff separately. I think it really does help keep the excitement for seeing each other like alive. It even just like a night apart to me is like, just like it's a good way to just maintain like an excitement to me.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. And I would also say, the hardest part about living together is uncomfortable conversations. You can't
leave.
Can't leave. Yeah. So those are really hard to have, because, and I'm bad at that, where it's like, you're like, I want to make sure the house is comfortable to live in. And
right.
And sometimes you avoid saying what's on your mind, 'cause you're like, well, why would I ruin this nice night? You know, like I
totally.
And that's a hard thing, because you sometimes when you're not living together, you can be like, you can text an uncomfortable conversation, then be like, I'll see you when I see you, you know, like, and then it's, you know, you can hash it out and then leave. It's just, there's no leaving.
I'd say, I mean, it's funny because I feel like popular wisdom is like, don't go to bed angry. But for me, I actually disagree with that. I think it's okay to go to bed a little annoyed. Because usually when we'll be discussing something and we disagree on something and we'll have a little fight before bed. And then like, I actually find it's easier to be a little pissed off. The next morning I wake up, I don't really care that much anymore. Yeah. If I still care the next morning, then we'll hash it out. But I think it's okay to go to bed a little pissed off. Sometimes you don't really care that much the next day.
I think that's great advice. Because you know, I'm just bad at that. Like that's something I've learned about myself, you know, living with my girlfriend, just like the idea of like, hey, you gotta get it out of your system too, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Is it weird? that my boyfriend went out for a drink one-on-one with his girl coworker. They work at a restaurant.
I don't think that's weird.
I don't think that's weird at all. Obviously, there's more to this story from that, you know, that person. But just generally, if it's, this is the only, you know, I think it's the only thing.
Yeah.
If you're saying in a world, can a male and female coworker go out for a drink that is a platonic friendship after work? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, should they come back and talk to you about it and tell you about their night and tell you what you know, be able to give you facts and opinions about this person? Yes. Like, if I went out,
I think that in itself, fine. If they're lying about it, weird.
Yes. If they're withholding information, if you found out about this person after the fact from someone else, yeah, that's weird. If you have no, if he's not, like, if they keep going out for drink every week and then they never invite you, that's weird too. Like,
yeah,
you know, listen, Jordana,
we've been on tour. We've been on tour.
Yeah, we got drinks. And there was never a moment where, like, you know, our significant others were like, and make sure you go home right afterwards. Like, no, because our significant others knew you. They, you know, we know each other. I know Mike, you know, Jess, like,
yeah,
that there's just, I think that's what makes those things feel more comfortable because there's nothing being hidden.
I agree. Mike has female coworkers. He gets drinks with them.
Yeah. I don't think it's also weird. Like, we're trying to get to that future, aren't we? Like, isn't that like the
right? It's
the
almost
mission
like
of
when
equality is that a drink can't be, can we want to get to a point where a drink can be had without, like, you know, without like the studio audience, drinks, like, that's offensive, isn't that
right? I agree. I think that's totally fine no matter where they work. You'll find someone when you least expect it. True or BS?
I think that's true. I think all these lines are BS. They're all bullshit. Like, everyone has a line. Like, anytime we give advice, we get a DM. I'm sure you get these DMs too, where it's like, well, in my relationship, you know, everyone has a story. I think the truth in you'll find someone when you least expect it is you're most confident when you're not like rushing around searching for a boyfriend or girlfriend before the store closes. I think you're just a more confident person and more approachable and more someone that someone wants to date.
I agree. I think it's more like you'll find someone when you're not acting all desperate and crazy. But I don't necessarily think it's like when you least expect it. Like, if you're going on a date, there's some expectation for like meeting someone. So I don't think that's to say, like, if you're on a dating app and you're looking, then like that's not going to happen for you.
But that's why I always come back to like the family and friends thing. Like, I don't, all of a sudden my friend, like, all these stories are very easy to make sound good when looking back. Like, I talk about this a little bit on stage. Like, the way my girlfriend tells the story of how we met is so different than the way I remember it. Like, it is crazy different. Like, you know, it's as if we were like, we're in a Disney cartoon and I'm like, I thought you were hot. And
oh my God,
you know,
did I ever tell you, I got into a fight with Mike once because his friend was once like, well, what's the first thing you noticed about Jordana, like when you met her? What did he say? And he was like, yeah, she was like pretty tall. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's most.
I was like, that is
not cool.
That is not a romantic, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I was
like, he didn't even try. He didn't even try to dress that up. He's tall. That's just how men
react. I was like, that was the first thing you thought about me. I'm not even that fucking tall. Like,
well, she's tall enough for me. I guess I'm good. Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. It's just funny. I think like also like the way men and women, like, you know what I mean? Like the romantic, I was like, that was not romanticized at all or enough for me, but
yeah, yeah, sometimes it feels like women are like writing these stories on the fly. Like, oh, that's a good line to put in there. And you know, and it's like, okay, that's because and this happens, it's not just our relationship, every relationship. So when you hear a line, that's why all these lines, you'll find someone you least expect it. My Roger was walking through Target. And it's like, fuck off. Like, you know, right.
How does one break a fuckboy streak? Warning signs, they all seem so nice at the start.
I think you start with stop calling people fuckboys. I don't know. That whole fuckboy thing feels to me like a response to the word slut, which is like I would never use.
To me, a fuckboy is someone who's just not looking to date you or to date.
If that's the definition, then I'm with you. And it's like at that point, stop believing, words over actions. Like you have to be able to lose people to gain the right people. So if you're just taking in all customers, then you're not going to have any customer. If you're taking an exclusive guest list, then you have a different, then you can kind of control the clientele.
Right. And I would also say to examine like what makes you attracted to these people. Like what is the recurring thing that you find attractive? And I bet it'll be something that you discover about yourself that you might want to look into.
Yeah. I think we all could do that. We could all do some self reflection. I think a lot of fuck boys are deathly afraid of standards.
Yeah. That's their kryptonite.
So if you have someone backing away from like, hey, I don't want, like, again, we,
you're like, I want to go on a date, and then they're vague.
Yeah. They're afraid. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of any form of that type of thing. So if you just raise the bar a little bit, just an inch, and see how they react to that bar being risen. They either do or they vague.
Yes. All right.
Miss the drama of my toxic exes, but I love my current secure boyfriend. How to start craving ambiguity. This is a tough one because it's like, I don't want McDonald's, but I love them French fries.
Right. To be totally honest, like I've struggled with that in a sense. Like I would say that's just life. Like the like crazy dramatic nights are like exciting, and like you don't really get as many of them in secure relationships, and it is a little bit of a trade-off. But if you think about like your long-term happiness, like it's, you kind of have to weigh the pros and the cons. It's kind of like you said, the McDonald's fries, or like if you love, you know what I mean? Like, how are you? Like, I am on a really good, healthy diet, but sometimes I just like miss doing cocaine. It's like, yeah. That's kind of like life.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to grow out of it. You also like waking up at 8 and feeling okay and not dealing with the repercussions of 2 days later, you know?
Right.
And you know, like that's, I've been on a no late night eating kick, and I've been really good about it. Every now and again, I fuck up and I go, and it makes me want to fuck up less, you know? Like,
right. And
I would say also, like, the thing I love about being in a relationship is no ambiguity and I know I don't have to like push off, you know, be vague with someone, you know?
Right.
And I know like she's missing the sexiness of like, finally it works out and I get the guy in my claws. And even though I know it won't work out, just the idea that he came over tonight after all those other nights of not coming over. Like, I understand that.
Yeah. And I think there's like this like myth or this romanticized thing that it's like, once you find the one, like nothing else matters. You never think about anything other than that ever again. But like, I think it's still healthy to be like, do you know what I mean? To like want exciting nights, to like,
what,
to some sense miss some of that.
On that note, sorry to interrupt, but this couple needs some role playing. Maybe he's the fuck boy and you're the woman who wants more and he won't give it to you. Like, there's a role play in that. That's kind of sexy.
Yeah, I could see getting into that.
Right? Like,
for sure.
Hey, I want to do this thing. I think this is so sexy. What if I text you and you don't text me back? And you go out with your friends, get real drunk, don't text me. I'm going to text you like a crazy person the whole night. And you say, yeah, I'll be out later. Let's hang later.
And then you never come over.
And then you never come over. Or you come over at 2 a.m. stinking drunk and you come and it can feel like one of those nights that I got the guy, but I'm not really happy about it because he's not even taking me seriously. Like,
it's so bad, but it's good. For me, my subconscious does this work for me. So every month or like 6 weeks, I have a dream that Mike leaves me.
Mm.
Right. And I'm all alone and I'm devastated. And it feels very real every time. It literally happens like every 4 to 6 weeks. And then mm-hmm. I wake up and I'm like so excited to see him and to be there. So I do think it's my mind being like, on your own. My mind just like fucking with me on its own just to make sure that I appreciate what I've got.
Yeah. Mike, I just had the hottest dream.
You left me.
You left me and you're still here.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What is a nice way to encourage your partner to see a therapist?
I think when they come to you with their issues, first of all, we're sponsored by Talkspace. I think that like, I say it in the ad, but, and this isn't to like, you can use whatever you'd like, but the idea that Talkspace even exists is like blows my mind because I'm one of those people that's like, go to the dentist. I'm like, I'll be like, I got to go to the dentist. And I'll be like, I don't even know a dentist. And then it's a month later and I'm like, fuck.
Right. You
know, like I'm just one of those people. And I think a lot of guys are that way where it's like, oh, I got to like find someone. I feel stupid for not knowing someone. I'm going to give up. I think that's a lot of to do. So I think Talkspace is a great, you know, asset to be like, hey, this website exists. Like, take a tour of it. But I think the way to nicely bring it up is to say, it sounds like you're going, like when someone brings up their things to you or how they're feeling, hey, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. A lot of this stuff feels like really serious and something that is, I don't know how to help you with. I think maybe seeing a professional would be very helpful for you.
Yeah,
I think that's there's a nicer way to say it than that.
I think that's the most you can do. And I think that anyone who like the person has to want it themselves.
Yeah.
They're not going to go because you told them to.
But that's why it has to be a reactive thing, not a proactive thing, I think. And again, I'm not speaking for like if someone's like hurting themselves and you're watching that, that's something you have to like speak up on. But I'm saying if you have a partner who's like, I don't know what to do with these feelings and they're coming to you, you have to let them know I'm not a professional, but that's kind of your opening to be like, I think these are professional issues that can be helped with that. And just like Jordana said, like if you're going to them like, you need a fucking therapist, it's like that's not
that's like, not gonna really do anything.
Not very edible. Yeah,
I agree. Is having COVID ending single FOMO because you're in a serious relationship a red flag? So she's basically saying, is the idea of COVID ending causing you FOMO a red flag if you're in a serious relationship?
For her dating life.
Yeah. Like to be to being single.
I don't mean to assume that's a woman. I think that could be a man as well, right?
Yeah, easily.
I think that's going to be very applicable to a lot of people. I think here's what I would say. It's a red flag. But I think a lot of like what's going to end up happening a lot is a lot of people are going to blame this for their relationship ending. And do you know what I mean? Oh, you're
yeah,
just,
I think it's
you're
an
just
easy
excited to be
thing,
you right, just want to
yeah.
be single. And it's like, I don't, let's take a look at the relationship instead of like COVID ending. Like, okay.
Right. It's a symptom. It's not the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So I do think it's a red flag. It doesn't mean it's a deal breaker, but I think it's worth looking at your relationship to be like, why am I feeling this way? Am I not excited by this person? Right. Do I need to role play a fuckboy scenario, like to bring some magic back? I don't think this is wrong. Like, I think this is going to happen to a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. The three best tips for a dating app profile.
Okay. Three best tips that I can give just based on our experience of seeing so many that we've given makeovers to. It's got to be you alone, no glasses, no hat, first two pictures.
Yes, that's always my first piece of go-to advice. No friend group shots and no sunglasses.
Yeah, and first two pictures. The rest, do what you want to do. That's your art project. Fine. Another one I would say, take the questions seriously. And because taking the questions and the prompts seriously and be yourself. Like, don't try and be someone else or tell someone who you are. Just take them seriously in a way that would turn away people and bring people in. You're looking to get rid of people too.
And I would also say be positive. So the one thing I always think is a major red flag, if someone has X need not apply or not looking for Y, it's like, don't say the things you're not looking for. Say the things you are. Just generally being positive, I think, is really important.
Yeah, you want to be negative about dating, start a podcast. Call it the UF Podcast.
Exactly.
Or, you know, like, there's places to do that. This isn't your stage to perform your soliloquy on dating in 2021. Like, no one gives a shit.
Agreed.
And we've already said it all on this podcast. But then here's a third one. When you reach out to someone on a dating app, make it about their profile. Make it personal to them. Because I think when I refer to these apps, these profiles are your own art project. So we're all narcissists. People want to hear what you think of their art project. So be personal is a better way than, hey, what's up?
Right. And my only last suggestion would be to, like, again, like you said, kind of take it seriously or don't do it at all. It's like, it's kind of like if you're going to apply to a job and like not proofread your resume, like, what's the point? Yeah. Like, if you're going to do it for like, be on there for real or just don't be on there.
Yeah. And being half on a dating app, that fucking sucks. You know, just being half in anything fucking sucks.
Right. I agree. Not worth it.
Man, we are like, this is really taking up an episode. I didn't even realize how far in we are.
Yeah. Do we have any more time?
No, we got more time, but I just want to make sure people know, keep sending your emails. This has been a lot of fun. Are you enjoying this, Jordana?
Yeah, this is great. These are some quick hits. I
want people to let us know how they feel about the quick hits episode. We're not tossing away the old way. We're just, you know, giving this a shot. We wanted to see how you guys would react to it. So we want to hear from you. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Let us know. Let's finish these out.
Does all dating start off casually? No one seems to want a relationship on the apps.
See, this is, this person has a problem. Like they, it doesn't matter what everyone wants. It doesn't matter what everyone wants. You're not the, first of all, you're not the only one that wants to be in a relationship. So stop that. I know you're the center of this rom-com and you're going, nobody wants me. It's not that. So stop that. If you're living in a world where no one seems to want a relationship on a dating app, that's you just airing complaints that can't be solved.
Right. Or that's you not filtering correctly.
Yeah.
Talking to people who are wasting your time talking to people who are showing clear signs of not looking for that. Or again, maybe they're not looking for a relationship with you. Maybe you're not just not finding enough matches for yourself.
And here's a big thing. When you say no one seems to want a relationship on the apps, then I can only assume that you're going, you're asking these people to lead you. You got to be a little bit of a leader. Hey, I want a relationship. Admit to that. Say it out loud. Scream it out the window. Go ahead. Pause the podcast. Say, don't even pause it. Just, you're walking around right now. Say, I want a relationship. And then, you know, if you're outside, someone thinks you're crazy, but that's okay. That's okay to admit. So stop looking. I think a lot of people get embarrassed that they're looking for a relationship. I think that should be the least embarrassing thing in the world. So stop waiting for someone to tell you they're looking for a relationship so that you don't have to worry about getting fucked over down the road. Right. Because you're never going to stop yourself from that.
And I think most people are looking for a relationship with the right person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they, anyway. Fun guy, but added 4 to 5 inches to his height on Hinge. Is this catfishing?
That's a lot. A lot.
Yeah. I think everyone deserves a nice courtesy inch, half an inch to an inch. I'm okay with that.
I go down. I used to go down.
What, in either direction, give or take?
Yeah. I would put 5'8", even though I'm 5'8 and a half. I would rather be known as a tall 5'8 than a short 5'9.
Right. Well, you want to exceed expectations, not come in below them. I think that's definitely catfishing, and it's definitely okay to be like, you're not interested in someone, not only because they're not the height that you thought they were, but also because they just lied about it and they weren't confident enough to put their real height.
Totally agree. And even to add to that, it is way different to add 4 to 5 inches to your height than it is to put up a picture that looks from a couple years ago that looks different to me, because right. I'm someone that when I look in the mirror, I kind of like form my body to look how I want it to look so that I can leave the house and feel confident. I think a lot of people do that.
Everyone does that. Yeah.
Yeah. We all are just trying to look at a picture that we, that can be our mind's eye of how we look. So it's something to like pump our own tires. When you say 4 to 5 extra inches, like that is something that they had to, that's not a picture, you know, like that's not,
it's a lie. Yeah,
that's a lie. That's we're like, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. A height is numbers, you
right.
know,
like so, height is objective, right?
A picture subjective. And again, like it's like when someone says, you know who you look like, you know, like that can happen. I don't think I look like that celebrity. Oh, you do think I look like that. You know what I mean? Like, but with a 4 to 5 inches is the same in every country. So right. What I would say to this person, to me, I'd be more unattracted to their lack of confidence in their height. Like,
I agree. It's a confidence thing.
How do I know if I'm being too picky about guys?
So this kind of relates to our earlier questions about, like, you know, am I judging someone on their job too much or something like that? I think it's like you have to think about the value versus the indicator or the signaling of it. So it's like, am I being too picky because I want someone who's ambitious and sweet and, I don't know, like good looking, fine. Like, I don't think those are things that you have to be, that are necessarily about being too picky. I think it's like, if you want a very specific signaling of that, then I think that leads into the too picky sense. So if it's like, I only want to date someone who went to this college or has this kind of job or makes X amount of year or has blonde hair or something like that. Like, I think if you're getting very specific, then that to me leads into picky territory. But if you're doing it based on like a value of yours that you want someone to match, I don't think that that's too picky.
Totally. Yeah. It's I'm with you 100% on that. I don't even think there's anything to add. I think here's the thing. Being single at an age that you thought you would have been married doesn't mean you're too picky. I think that's the thing that a lot of people do to themselves is they're like, well, everyone else, you know, if you're doing that thing where you're like, everyone else, I must be too picky. No, it just hasn't happened yet. That's okay.
I agree.
We got two more.
Yes.
Thoughts on sharing location with a significant other. Jordana, do you and Mike share your location with one another?
I don't even know how you would do that.
You press the info button. Well, yeah,
I think if it's for like a specific utility purpose, it's not like fine. If it's like a thing that you're doing to track the other person, then obviously that's an issue.
That's a big difference. So, hey, I'll be home from the airport soon.
Right.
Turn on your location so I know when you're close. That's different than, hey, I'm going out tonight. Turn on your location so I know where you are. That's a different
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yes.
I know that some people share their locations for safety concerns, and that's a different conversation. Like, but yeah. If your partner doesn't, if you're saying it's for safety concerns so that your partner shares it with you, that's a little bit of a lie. If you're saying it's for safety concerns when it's really for tracking concerns,
right?
That's a different story.
It's like, are you using the power for evil or are you using it for like convenience? It's like, yeah. if I need to know your phone password so I can change the song on when we're like on the road trip, that's one thing. If I need to know your phone password so I can look through all your emails, that's like a different question.
Yeah, and listen. This is all under the kind of like the idea, like you can't zigzag around getting hurt. Like,
yeah.
You know, like if you're looking for the location, cause you're onto something, I think the minute you say to yourself, maybe if I had his location, I would know, be more confident. That's maybe when in this relationship, maybe that's the time to talk about your relationship.
Right. I also think in those instances, a lot of the time, like curiosity killed the cat. Like, you look through enough stuff, you'll find something you didn't want to see.
Yeah, that's true.
How to tell a guy... This is our last question. Thank you guys for sending these in.
This has been great.
These are awesome. How to tell a guy I want to be exclusive with him without sounding desperate. Or despy, as I'm now trying to make happen. Because like, you started it, and I love that.
Little despy. I don't understand how this would sound desperate.
I understand why she's afraid of it sounding desperate because it's basically her saying like, I want you. And so I think they're kind of like, anytime you show interest, I think some people look at it and I can understand this mindset of like, oh, I'm putting all my cards on the table.
Well, I think I understand that, and I guess that's vulnerable. That is truly vulnerable. Hey, I like you. I want to be with you. I would like you to stop having sex with other people.
Yeah.
Like, but I think let's try and look at it from a perspective of power. You know, like I think there's a powerful way to look at go, hey, I really enjoy your company, but I'm not going to be with someone who's not totally with me. So I'm letting you know I'm totally with you.
I agree. If you change the narrative, it's actually much more empowering. And if you change the narrative, it's pretty desperate to want something and not say it because you're afraid of coming off a certain way.
Yeah.
Like that's really what's desperate is to like continue to see someone while knowing you want to be exclusive with them, but being too afraid to lose them to say anything. That to me is actually more desperate.
And this is easier advice to give than to take. Like I can understand where you go. Okay, so I'm going to find out what they really think. I'm going to put it off a week. You know, like I can understand that mindset.
Totally. And I think one of the things that that could only sound desperate to want to be exclusive with someone if you're totally out of whack with like the way that they're thinking. So if, you know, if they see you once a month and they text you twice a month and you're like, well, I want to be exclusive. To me, that sounds a little desperate because you're not, you don't have an accurate pulse on where the relationship is.
Here's the most, I totally agree with that. And here's the most desperate thing you can do. Hey, I want to be in a relationship. Hey, I really like you, but I'm not going to be with someone who isn't exclusive with me. So I have to know if you're exclusive with me. And then they say, nah. And then you go, yeah, never mind. Let's just do what we were doing before. That's fucking desperate.
Yes. To bring it to full circle to the Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaids scene. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this is, I think we solved dating for real today, Jordana.
We did. This is great. We got through 20 questions. If you guys like this segment and you want us to do it again, email us, UUP@betches.com. Or if you prefer our regular formatting, let us know that too. And we'll be back to the regular format next week, but let us know what you think.
Yeah, this is what do we call this? The 20 burning questions, 20 quick hit dating questions. Yeah, this is great. I'm excited. We'll be back next episode.
Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Madeline Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.